This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Tasliman kathiran kathiran. From Mabadu, I told the Hafiz to go and rest. Because you got 20 rakat worth of tarawih in 2 rakats. So, Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless him, and also to recite for this long when he's fasting, throat gets dry, it's very difficult, it's not easy. So, alhamdulillah, make dua for him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah bless him and reward him and make the Qur'an firm in his heart. Before I go into the khatira, a couple of things about the adab, the manners of listening to the Qur'an in salah. One of the things that people do, if you know what the Hafiz is reciting, then we find people whispering that, repeating after the Hafiz or along with the Hafiz. And sometimes in a, you know, louder tone. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically prohibited that. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَانْصِتُوا. Allah said, keep quiet and listen. So if you know the Quran, alhamdulillah, good for you. But that does not mean that you should repeat it after the Hafiz. Do not. Just sit, listen silently. The adab is to listen silently. Also, you find sometimes in Tarawih and so on, people reading from the Mus'haf or reading from the phone. This takes you out of Salah. All the Aima are muttafaq alayh on this, that if you are reading, if you are doing anything in Salah, if you are behind the Imam, if you are doing anything other than following the Imam, you are out of Salah. Right? So you come all the way to the masjid to pray Tarawih, and then you pray the whole 20 rakat, and not even one is counted because you are reading from the phone or from the Mus'haf or something. The Imam is permitted to read from the Mus'haf. If the Imam is not a Hafiz, he can read, there's no problem. He can read and aloud, and you can pray behind him, there's no problem. But for the Muqtadi, for the person who's following, he's supposed to follow. He's not supposed to do anything else. Right, so remember these adab, because you take the trouble to come and to the masjid, and then you don't get the thawab from this. What's the point? No. Alhamdulillah, this is the way of the Muslim, and this Salatul Kusuf, I think, illustrates this so nicely. Even in nature, if you see a small child, if he feels any threat, what does he do? He runs to the mother. Right. You take, if you have anybody who has raised chickens, right? So you have the little chicks, and the mother is there, and she's going cook, 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 and the chicks are running. Suddenly, she sees something, a shadow, maybe it's a hawk or something in the air, and immediately, she makes a krrr kind of sound. And all the chicks run to her, and she takes them under her wings, no? So what do the Muslims do when they feel any kind of threat? Go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rushed to the masjid for salah. Why? Because this is the place where you are closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the slave makes sajda on the farsh, on the floor, he is actually making sajda before the arsh of Ar-Rahman. So we get closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we get into salah, we are the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you must try and get that sense of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moon is this eclipse happened when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's son Ibrahim passed away. He was around maybe close to 2 years old or something. And when he died, there was an eclipse. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also was very sad. And, you know, the tears falling from his eyes. So people said, see, this is a sign of that even the sky is sad and even the moon is sad. Now imagine, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not been a true prophet, this was an ideal opportunity to leverage that and say, see, for me even the sky is crying. But this is one of the many, many, many dalail of the sadaqat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no. There is no sky crying for anybody. This is a celestial phenomena. This is the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sky does not cry, the moon does not cry, and nobody cries for anyone. This is something which is natural. And what we need to do is this, which is salah. Second thing is, if you see again, one of the many dala'il of the fact that the ahadith of Nabawiya, that the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is also of divine origin. This is also wahi. We call this wahi ghair matlu, wahi which is not recited in the salah. But this is also wahi, because all forms of worship are inspired and ordered only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? In Islam, it is haram to invent a way of worship which Rasulullah did not do. Which means that whichever he did comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now this method of salah, which is completely different from how you normally do salah, in one rakat there are two ruku. In the normal salah there is one ruku and two sujood. In this salah there are two ruku and two sujood, right? And then of course the length of the recitation and so on. So all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore this is one of the also many other dalail that the sunnah of Rasulullah is also divine, and therefore it is something to be followed very, very clearly. Third thing is that, as our Shaykh said, the thing to do is seek the maghfirat, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in Suratul Anfal, in this ayah number 33, one of the most beautiful ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising. And Allah says, and Allah cannot and will not punish them as long as you are with them. Hey, ajib. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish them as long as they are mustaghfirin, as long as they are seeking forgiveness. So two shurut, two conditions of being protected from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is making it like almost like saying, it's wajib on me that I cannot punish them. There's nothing Allah can do, whatever He wants. Right? But Allah is saying, as long as you are with them, I will never punish them. And as long as they seek forgiveness, I will never punish them. Now, for us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is like having the Rasul with us. Because he is not with us in physical presence. But to follow his sunnah in every way is to have him with us. So keep this in mind. It's the great importance of sunnah. One of our great scholars, Sayyid Ahmad Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in Medina, he used to live in Medina. And eventually he died in Medina, he's buried in Bakhi. Somebody said to him, in terms of for a sunnah, in Urdu, he said, Hazrat, ma wo to sunnati hai na. No, this lahja, wo sunnati hai na. Oh, that is only a sunnah. He said, aapke alfaz sahi hain, magar aapka lahja kufr hai. He said, your words are true, but your lahja, your tone is kufr. Because you are discounting the importance of the way of Rasulullah ﷺ. Sunnati hai. Meaning, aray, chodo yaar, kya hai, usme kya hai, baat kya hai? Mushkil kya hai? Badi kya hai? Badi cheez kya hai? Ye kufr hai. Is tarah ki baat karna, ye haram hai Islam ke andar. So, to denigrate or to discount the importance of the way of Rasulullah is something which is very, very reprehensible and must never be done. This is minallahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. So, the importance of following the sunnah, because this is one of the ways of protecting yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another matter related with this is that Rasulullah said, he said, there will come a time when to follow my sunnah will be more difficult than holding a red glowing burning coal in your hand. You can imagine in the fire, like a barbecue or something, and there are these coals which are burning. Obviously, nobody will do it, but I'm saying if that is put in your hand, what will happen? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come when to follow my sunnah will be more difficult than that. And in those times when my sunnah is revived, when somebody follows my sunnah, Allah will give him the reward of 100 shaheed. For one sunnah. 100 shaheed. And may Allah bless the sahaba. They used to ask questions. They said, Ya Rasulullah, shuhada of their time or our time? He said, shuhada of your time. Meaning, 100 sahaba shaheed. Anyway, this is... there's no way, obviously I can't even quantify this in any way, but imagine, one sunnah. That's why I tell the people who shave, to keep the beard for the men, obviously for the men, this is called redundancy in speech, right? One of the ways in which men are superior to women is that we can keep beards, right? So try. So the point I'm saying is that if you keep your beard, it is my husna zan with my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of 100 shuhada of the sahaba's time for every hair of your beard. Every single second, every single minute, every single day. Because it is being kept here. So, and Allah's treasure is not limited by anything. Think about that. Right? So, before you go and make your ziyarah with Gillette every morning, somebody tells me, Shaykh, main badi koshish karta hu, aati nahi hai. Maine kaha isliye nahi aati, aap koshish karte, kyun karte koshish? He said, I try very hard, it doesn't come. I said, that's why it doesn't come, because you're trying so hard. Don't try. Leave it. Allah made you with a beard. You know, why what is there to try? Leave it alone. So the point I'm making here is that it is very important to try and follow every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We had one brother there in ISWM, and I'm now talking about 30 years ago when I used to live here. His name was Bilal. He was an Afro-American brother, very, very big man, very heavy, mashallah. Now, he was the only Muslim in his family. There's nobody Muslim. How he became Muslim also, I don't know. But one thing I know about Bilal is that every single thing, Sheikh Wissam was there at that time. Every single thing he would ask Sheikh Wissam, Sheikh, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? How did he put on his socks? How did he clip his nails? How? Every single thing, right? This is something I always noticed with him. He must have been about maybe 25, 26 years old. One day he had a massive headache, terrible, terrible headache, like a terrible migraine. To the extent that he decided to go to the... He had a beat-up old jeep. So he got into the jeep. He drove himself to Bay State. And he collapsed. So they took him into emergency and so on and so on. He was there for, I think, 2 days or something like that. He died. Passed away. Right? Now, this happened on a weekday. So we are thinking it's a weekday. This is one African-American guy. Not anybody prominent and nothing, a young guy. Now, for the janaza, who will come? Right? Maybe nobody will come. So, we said, at least 1 or 2 of us, we should go. When we go there, that ISWM parking lot is full of cars. Full of people. And we don't know the people. All kinds of strange people. We don't know where those people came from. Who are those people? What are the places filled with people for the janaza of this one man. Allah knows who those were. Allah knows whom he sent. Huh? Ajib. So the barakah of the sunnah of Rasulullah. Do it as much as you can. Whatever you can do. And never discount or speak in a disrespectful way about the sunnah. What you can do, you do. What you can't do, okay, you can't do. But don't say, I know it's okay, not even, no, never. Don't make your tongue take you to a bad place. Right? What you cannot do, you cannot do. Doesn't matter. But don't speak against it. That is wrong. What you can do, do it. This is very, very important. So these are some of the things that we need to think about and ask ourselves and say, what is my connection with Allah? What is my connection with the Rasulullah? Because think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this kitab, sent this Quran. And what did he say? Tabaraka alladhi nazzala al-furqan, nazzala al-furqana ala abdihi. Allah did not say he sent the Quran to the Muslims, he didn't send the Quran to the mu'mineen, he sent the Quran to the people, no. نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَظِيرًا. And what did Allah say to us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, truly and verily Allah has blessed and given the ni'mah on the Muslims, on the mu'mineen. مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has given this ni'mah on the mu'mineen that he sent among them a rasul, a messenger who is from them. So it's a double blessing. One, that the messenger is sent, and second, the messenger is one of you. Allah did not send a farishta, a malak, or, you know, an angel or something, or some other creature. He said, Allah said, he is a human being. He's like you. And he's from among you, and he's the Rasul alayhi salam. So Allah said, the ni'mah for you is the Rasul. And what did the Rasul come with? He came with the kitab. Right? He came with the book. So if you look at that, even the Quran al-Kareem we have because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the book of which was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not sent, the book was not sent without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Book was not sent independent of the Prophet. Book was sent with him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yatulu alayhim ayatihi, to recite to them the ayat of Allah. Wa yuzakkihim, prepare them to receive the ayat by purifying them. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, teach them the ayat. Teach why to whom? These are the people who are the ahlul lugha. They have the language. The language belongs to them. And the book is in the same language. What is there to teach? You can say, no? But obviously, there is something to teach. That's why Allah is saying, I sent him to teach them. يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and the application of this, the benefits of this. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to truly put the appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book and the appreciation of His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts and enable us to learn the book of Allah and learn the way in which this is to be practiced and lived in our lives. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to live our lives in a way in which He is pleased with us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all calamities. We ask Allah to protect us from the biggest calamity is the disobedience of Allah. The biggest calamity is sin. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore to protect us from sin, to protect us from all calamities, to protect us from His ghadab, to protect us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not being pleased with us. You know, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the worst punishment that is given to people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah will not look at them on the day of judgment. Can you imagine? Allah will not look at them. Allah is not saying He will put them into the fire and so on. So all that is different. Allah will not look at them. If Allah does not look at you, there is nothing that is a bigger and more painful and a worse punishment than the fact that Allah will not look at you. We ask Allah to make us among those who Allah will look at, who Allah will purify, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with, and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give His own didar, His own ruya, His own, you know, jalwa to us, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come when the people will be all gathered together in Jannat al-Firdaus. We ask Allah to make us among those who will be gathered with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdaus, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then announce, and Allah will say, my slaves, are you pleased with what you have? And that, is there anything more you want? And the people will say, Ya Rab, what can we ask? We have everything here. We are in Jannatul Firdaus. There is nothing. We praise you. We thank you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is something more. They say, Ya Rab, what is it? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, remove the curtain from between me and my slaves. So we will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, from this day onwards, I will never be displeased with you. The rida of Allah, that Allah is pleased with us, this is the greatest ni'mah. This is better than even Jannatul Firdaus. Jannatul Firdaus is the circumstances, it's the comes with the territory. But the rida of Allah is the main thing. That this is what we seek and this is what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. That Allah should be pleased with us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us and to give us in keeping with His majesty and grace and to give us with khair and hafiya. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we don't know and He knows, and therefore when we ask Him to give us that which is good for us and that which pleases Him. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ اجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ